Welcome back, everyone. We're diving deep into Deuteronomy today, chapters 5 through 8, to be exact.
Oh, Deuteronomy, yeah.
And helping us sift through these ancient texts, we have an expert in ancient Israelite history and religion.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deuteronomy, it's a fascinating book, really.
Definitely. And guiding us through these chapters, we have a lecture by Dr. Cynthia Parker, Old Testament professor.
Yeah, right off the bat, at chapter 5, she points out something that, well, it really caught my eye. The Ten Commandments, they show up again.
Oh, that's right. I mean, we already saw them in Exodus.
Right, exactly. So why are they here again?
Good question. Why the repeat performance?
Well, you got to think, Deuteronomy, it's kind of like Moses' last speech to the Israelites, right? This new generation, they're about to go into the promised land. So they needed like a refresher course on the fundamentals of their faith.
A reminder of that covenant with God.
Exactly. That's it. That binding agreement.
Yeah, and Dr. Parker mentions hesed love in Deuteronomy.
Oh, yeah, hesed.
So tell me more about this hesed love. What exactly is it?
Well, it's often translated as like steadfast love or loving kindness, but honestly, it's much deeper than that.
Oh, okay. So more than just, you know, your standard love.
Yeah, it's really about commitment. It's about loyalty, faithfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not some fleeting thing.
That really changes how you think about, well, the Old Testament God. Right. You know, sometimes people have this image.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this shows a God who's really devoted to his people, a love that doesn't quit even when they, you know, mess up.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it. This idea of covenant, it pops up everywhere in Deuteronomy.
It really does. And you know what else? Dr. Parker points out this interesting difference between Deuteronomy and Exodus about the Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. In Deuteronomy, it's all about like remembering their freedom from slavery in Egypt.
Right, right. But back in Exodus, it's tied to God resting after creation.
Such a big difference. Why do you think that is?
Well, it might be that the Israelites, now on the doorstep of the Promised Land, you know, they needed a reminder of God's power, you know, how he set them free.
So they wouldn't forget as they entered this new land.
Exactly. Remembering their past would help them with the challenges and the temptations they were about to face.
It's like carrying their history with them, like a compass.
Yeah, compass. That's a good way to put it. And then, you know, there's one of the most famous passages in the whole Torah, Deuteronomy 6.4, the Shema.
The Shema, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Eshad.
That's the one. You know, it's this incredibly powerful prayer in Judaism, central to their faith.
For sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Exactly. But Dr. Parker, she mentions that it's got this mystery surrounding it.
Really? A prayer like that with a mystery?
It's true. The original Hebrew, it doesn't actually have any verbs. So that leaves it open to a few different ways of understanding it.
Huh. That's interesting. So what does it mean then to say, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one?
Well, Dr. Parker, she suggests that one way to see it is as a call to be totally devoted to the one true God.
Makes sense. As the Israelites were about to head into this new land, a land with, well, lots of different gods and temptations, it'd be easy to lose their way.
Yeah. It was their declaration, you know, their commitment to only worship Yahweh. And it's still a cornerstone of Jewish worship today.
Powerful stuff. So we've got the Ten Commandments, version 2.0. We've got hesed love and this powerful and kind of mysterious Shema. What else is Dr. Parker highlighting?
She spends a lot of time talking about the importance of remembering in Deuteronomy. She doesn't mean just like, you know, remembering facts and figures. It's deeper.
There's more to remembering than just, you know, recalling facts.
Oh, yeah. For the Israelites, remembering. It was active. You know, it was tied into their identity, even their morals, their behavior.
What do you mean by active?
Well, think about it. You can remember something, but it doesn't really, you know, affect you. But in Deuteronomy, remembering, it's about keeping the past alive in the present. Let it shape your actions, your choices.
So it's like almost like those who came before are still, you know, in a way guiding you.
Yeah. And Dr. Parker, she points out that this focus on remembering, it was super important as the Israelites were about to, you know, step into the Promised Land.
Because they could so easily be, well, distracted by all the good things, right? Forget where they came from.
Exactly. Deuteronomy is full of these warnings about the dangers of prosperity, how abundance, it can make you complacent, make you forget God.
It's a good reminder for everyone, really, even today when things are going well. It's easy to forget where, you know, where it all came from.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dr. Parker, she really brings this contrast to life, the way she describes the Promised Land, you know, all the abundance, the fertility.
Yeah, I know. All those descriptions of like brooks of water and fountains, delicious fruit, all those greens.
It's amazing, right? And all those details, they help us, well, they help us understand why this new land, it was so alluring. You can see how the Israelites, after wandering in the wilderness all that time, they could easily forget their dependence on God.
It's almost like a test, isn't it? Can they enjoy all the good things without forgetting the one who gave them those good things?
It's a great way to put it. And that tension between remembering and forgetting, it runs through all of Deuteronomy.
It's a very human struggle, isn't it?
It really is.
Even today, you know, thinking we did it all ourselves, forgetting about grace, forgetting about how things actually happen.
So true. That's why what Dr. Parker's saying about Deuteronomy, it's so valuable. Staying grounded in our faith, even when, even when things are going great.
Okay, so we've covered the Ten Commandments, round two. We talked about Hasidic love and the Shema. What else? Yeah. What else jumps out at you from these chapters?
Well, Dr. Parker, she brings up this really, really interesting connection between Deuteronomy and the New Testament. It's something I hadn't thought about before.
Oh, intriguing. Tell me more.
She draws a parallel between the Israelites going into the Promised Land and Jesus being tempted in the wilderness.
That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, right? But it makes sense when you think about it. Both of them, they're being tested, right? Mm-hmm. Choosing between trusting God or giving into temptation.
Whoa, that's a fascinating connection.
It is. And in Matthew 4, when Jesus is tempted, his answers, they come directly from Deuteronomy.
Wow. So he's using these ancient texts to fight off temptation.
Exactly. It's like he's showing us that these words, these ancient words, they still have power,
yeah.
You know, even when we're struggling. They do. And that link between Deuteronomy and the New Testament, it really shows how relevant these old texts still are. They speak to us across, you know, thousands of years, offering wisdom, guidance for navigating life.
It's pretty incredible when you think about it. So what does all this mean for us, for people today? What can we take away from diving into Deuteronomy chapters 5 through 8?
Well, I think the main takeaway is the power of memory. It's not just about the past. It's about shaping our present, our future. As Dr. Parker said, you know, for the Israelites, remembering, it was an active thing. You know, it wasn't passive.
So it's not enough to just know the stories.
Right. Right. We have to, you know, really let them sink in, let them affect us, you know, and let them guide our actions.
You know, when you put it that way, it makes me think about how we try to remember things today, you know, making lists, setting reminders on our phones.
Interesting, right? All these external tools to help us remember. Mm-hmm. But the Israelites, they had a more integrated way of doing it. Memory was part of their daily lives, their rituals.
And speaking of rituals, Dr. Parker mentions those instructions in Deuteronomy about marking doorways, hands, and foreheads.
Oh, yeah. Those were interesting. She talked about them as marking liminal spaces, those thresholds between one place and another.
Liminal spaces?
Yeah. Think of it like a doorway.
Yeah.
Leaving one space, entering another. And for the Israelites, those thresholds, they were opportunities to remember their covenant with God.
So by marking those spaces with symbols, they were creating these physical reminders, right, of their history, their obligations to God.
Exactly. It's like embedding the past into their everyday lives, making it impossible to forget, you know.
I see how that would be so important, especially with all those warnings about prosperity leading to, well, to forgetting and becoming too self-reliant.
Absolutely. Those physical reminders, they'd be like a constant callback to their dependence on God, even with all the abundance of the Promised Land.
Which brings us to Dr. Parker's description of the Promised Land in Deuteronomy 8. She really paints a vivid picture. Brooks of water, fountains, all sorts of delicious fruit and grains. Sounds like paradise.
It's a powerful image. For sure. And one that's, well, it's really connected to the Garden of Eden idea, you know,
yeah.
The Promised Land, it's presented as this place of potential, you know, where they can really flourish. But it's also, well, it's a place of temptation.
Right. It's like the ultimate test. Can they handle all this abundance without forgetting God?
Exactly. It's a test we all face, isn't it? Can we enjoy the good things without them becoming, well, idols? Do we stay grateful, stay humble, even when things are, you know, going really well?
Makes you think about our own relationship with stuff, you know, material things, success, even just comfort. It's so easy to take things for granted, forget where they came from.
It really is. That's why this emphasis on remembering, it's so important. It's about cultivating an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that everything we have is a gift from God.
Mm. Now, there's something I have to ask you about, something that really struck me in Dr. Parker's lecture. She connects Deuteronomy and Jesus's temptation in the wilderness in Matthew 4. And it's, well, it's unexpected, but it's also brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That connection is, it's amazing, isn't it? It connects these two parts of the Bible that you wouldn't think go together. And it illuminates both of them.
When she pointed out that Jesus's answers to the devil are taken straight from Deuteronomy, I was blown away. It's like he's using these ancient texts as a weapon against temptation.
It's a powerful image, and it really shows how relevant Deuteronomy is even today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for, you know, the ancient Israelites, but for all of us, for anyone who wants to follow God faithfully and in a world full of temptation.
It's almost like Jesus is showing us how to use, you know, how to use scripture to navigate our own struggles, our own temptations.
Exactly. And it reminds us that the challenges we face today, they're not so different from the ones the Israelites faced, or even Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
We all face temptations, you know,
yeah.
Temptations to compromise our faith, to take the easy way out, to rely on ourselves instead of on God.
That idea of Deuteronomy as a source of timeless wisdom, a guidebook for life, that really resonates with me. It's powerful.
It is. And we've only just scratched the surface of these four chapters. You know, there's so much more to uncover in Deuteronomy. But I think this gives us a good starting point.
Yeah, definitely a lot to think about. Okay, so we've explored the meaning of the Ten Commandments for this new generation. We've talked about Hesed love and the Shema and this powerful emphasis on remembering. What else stands out to you from these chapters?
Well, Dr. Parker, she talks about this really fascinating idea about the Israelites being told to physically mark their doorways and their hands and foreheads, you know, with symbols of their covenant with God.
Oh, right. I remember that. Like almost like tattoos.
Yeah. And she talked about it as a way of marking liminal spaces, you know, those thresholds between one place and another, like a doorway, you know, you're leaving one space and entering another.
It's like a physical reminder, right? Every time you walk through a door, you're reminded of your commitment to God.
Exactly. It's like they're embedding their faith into the very fabric of their lives, you know, making it impossible to forget. And I think that's something that's really relevant for us today, too.
Yeah. Definitely. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and lose sight of the bigger picture, you know, forget about our spiritual lives.
That's so true. And that's why I think these physical reminders, they're so powerful. They can help us to stay grounded, to stay connected to what really matters.
So how do we do that today? I mean, we don't have to literally mark our doorposts, right?
Right. Of course not. But I think the principle still applies. You know, it's about finding ways to integrate our faith into our daily lives, to create little rituals and reminders that can help us to stay connected to God.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, it could be something as simple as saying a prayer before meals, you know, or taking a few minutes each day to meditate or read scripture. Or it could be something more creative, like listening to worship music or creating art that expresses your faith.
Those are good ideas. It's like finding those little touch points throughout the day that can bring us back to center, back to God.
Exactly. And I think it's important to experiment and find what works best for you, you know, what resonates with you, what helps you to feel more connected.
Yeah, totally. It's a personal thing. And it doesn't have to be, you know, complicated or elaborate. It's more about just being intentional, about creating those moments of connection throughout the day.
Absolutely. And I think the more we do that, the more we'll find that our faith becomes less of a separate part of our lives and more of an integrated whole, you know?
Yeah.
Something that permeates everything we do.
Yeah, I like that. It's like weaving our faith into the very fabric of our lives.
Exactly.
And speaking of weaving, Dr. Parker talks about the promised land in such a beautiful way in Deuteronomy 8. She really paints this picture of abundance, of fertility, you know, brooks of water, fountains, and all these delicious fruits and grains. It's almost like a garden of Eden, you know, a pear.
It is. It's this incredibly vivid image. And it really speaks to the deep longing that we all have, I think, for a place of peace, a place of abundance, a place where we can truly flourish.
But she also warns about the dangers of prosperity, right? How it can lead to complacency and a forgetting of God.
Right, exactly. Because when we have everything we need, it's easy to become self-sufficient, to forget that we're actually dependent on God for everything.
It's like that old saying, full stomachs make rebellious hearts.
That's a good one. And I think it's something that we all need to be aware of. You know, even if we don't have, you know, material wealth, we can still be prosperous in other ways. We can have good health, loving relationships, a comfortable life. And those things can be just as tempting as material wealth if we're not careful.
So it's not about rejecting prosperity, but about remembering where it comes from, right?
Yeah.
And using it in a way that honors God.
Exactly. It's about cultivating a spirit of gratitude, of humility, recognizing that everything we have is a gift and using those gifts to bless others.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Dr. Parker makes this really interesting connection between Deuteronomy and the New Testament. I'd love to hear more about that.
Oh, yeah. She points out that the story of the Israelites entering the Promised Land, it has some really interesting parallels with the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness.
Hmm. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever thought about it that way before.
Yeah, it's not something that you hear about very often.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, it makes sense. Both the Israelites and Jesus, they're being tested.
Yeah.
You know, they're being faced with choices that will determine their future.
The Israelites are facing this abundance, and Jesus is facing this deprivation.
Exactly. And in both cases, the temptation is to turn away from God, to rely on themselves instead of on God's provision.
So for the Israelites, it's the temptation to forget God in the midst of all the abundance. And for Jesus, it's the temptation to give up on God in the midst of all the suffering.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a really powerful message for us today, you know, because we all face temptations, whether it's the temptation to overindulge in the good things of life or the temptation to give up hope when things are tough.
So how do we resist those temptations? What can we learn from the Israelites and from Jesus?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to remember who we are and whose we are. The Israelites, they were constantly being reminded of their identity as God's chosen people, and that gave them the strength to resist the temptations of the surrounding cultures.
And for us today, it's about remembering that we're children of God, right?
Yeah.
Loved and accepted just as we are. And that gives us the foundation to face whatever life throws at us.
Exactly. And it's also about remembering God's faithfulness. The Israelites had seen God do amazing things, mm-hmm. you know, leading them out of slavery, providing for them in the wilderness. And that gave them the confidence to trust him, even when things were difficult.
And for us today, it's about remembering the ways that God has been faithful in our own lives, you know, the times he's answered our prayers, the times he's provided for us, the times he's comforted us in our sorrows. Those memories can be such a source of strength when we're facing new challenges.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to surround ourselves with people who will encourage us in our faith. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Israelites, they had each other, they had Moses, they had the priests, and that community, it helped them to stay strong, to stay focused on God.
Yeah, community is so important. It gives us a place to share our struggles, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we really need in our world today.
Yeah.
You know, where it's so easy to feel isolated and disconnected.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into Deuteronomy, I'm just struck by how relevant these ancient texts are for us today. You know, the challenges the Israelites face, the temptations they struggled with, they're not so different from the things that we face in our own lives. And the wisdom that we find in Deuteronomy, it can help us to navigate those challenges, to live lives of faithfulness and abundance.
It really can. And I think that's one of the most amazing things about the Bible. You know, it's this living word that speaks to us across time and cultures. It meets us where we are, and it offers us guidance and hope for the journey.
Absolutely. So to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring Deuteronomy, to keep wrestling with these texts, and to let the wisdom that you find there shape your lives. And we'll be back soon with more from our deep dive into this fascinating book.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
It's not just about knowing the stories. We have to really let them sink in, you know, let them affect us and let them guide our actions, you know, like a compass almost.
Mm-hmm. A compass, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that image.
Yeah, and it makes me think about, you know, all those instructions in Deuteronomy about marking doorways and hands and forehead.
Oh, right. Those were interesting. What was that all about?
Well, Dr. Parker, she talked about them as marking liminal spaces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those in-between places, the thresholds between one space and another.
Liminal spaces, huh? That's a new one.
Think of it like a doorway. You know, you're leaving one room and entering another. And for the Israelites, those thresholds, they were opportunities to remember their covenant with God.
So by marking those spaces, they were creating like physical reminders, right, of their history, their obligations to God.
Exactly. It's like embedding the past into their everyday lives, making it impossible to forget.
I can see how that would be so important, especially with all those warnings about prosperity leading to, well, to forgetting and becoming too self-reliant.
Absolutely. Those physical reminders, they'd be like a constant nudge, you know. Hey, remember who you are. Remember where you came from.
A nudge back to God. Yeah. And speaking of Dr. Parker's description of the Promised Land in Deuteronomy 8, she really paints this picture of abundance and fertility. Brooks of water, fountains, all sorts of delicious fruit and grains. It sounds amazing.
It does, doesn't it? It's like this image of paradise, a place where everything is, you know, plentiful and beautiful.
But she also warns about the dangers of prosperity, right? How it can lead to complacency and forgetting of God.
Right. It's easy to get comfortable, you know, to start thinking that we don't need God anymore. That
yeah.
We can do it all on our own.
It's like that old saying, you know, full stomachs make rebellious hearts.
Exactly. And I think it's something that we all need to be aware of, you know, because even if we don't have, you know, material wealth, we can still be prosperous in other ways. We can have good health, loving relationships, a comfortable life. And those things can be just as tempting as material wealth if we're not careful.
So it's not about rejecting prosperity, but about remembering where it comes from.
Yeah.
And using it in a way that honors God.
Absolutely. It's about cultivating a spirit of gratitude, of humility, recognizing that everything we have is a gift and using those gifts to bless others.
You mentioned earlier that Dr. Parker connects Deuteronomy to the New Testament. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. She points out that the story of the Israelites entering the Promised Land has some really interesting parallels with the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness.
Interesting. How so?
Well, in both cases, you have this idea of testing, right? The Israelites are entering this land of abundance, but it's also a land of temptation. And Jesus, he's in the wilderness facing deprivation and also temptation.
So for the Israelites, it's the temptation to forget God in the midst of all the good things. And for Jesus, it's the temptation to, I don't know, to lose faith in God when things are really hard.
Exactly. And I think that's a really powerful message for us today, you know, because we all face temptations, whether it's the temptation to overindulge or the temptation to give up hope when things are tough. But in both cases, the key is to remember who we are and whose we are, to remember God's faithfulness and to rely on his strength to help us through.
So what can we do, practically speaking, to remember, especially in the midst of our busy, often chaotic lives?
Well, one thing we can do is to create those liminal spaces in our own lives. You know, those times and places where we can intentionally pause and reconnect with God.
Like what? What would that look like today?
It could be something as simple as setting aside a few minutes each morning for prayer or meditation. Or it could be taking a walk in nature and just being present to the beauty of creation. Or it could be listening to some worship music on your way to work. It's really about finding those things that help you to connect with God and to remember his presence in your life.
I like that. Creating those little pockets of sacred space throughout the day.
Exactly. It's about being intentional,
yeah.
You know, about making space for God in the midst of all the busyness.
It's easy to get caught up in the rush of everything.
It is. But when we make time for God, even in small ways, it can make a big difference in our lives.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a great takeaway for our listeners. So to sum it all up, we've been exploring this idea of active remembering in Deuteronomy. And how it's not just about recalling facts, but about letting our history shape our present and guide our future.
It's about carrying those stories with us, letting them inform our choices and actions. And ultimately, I think it's about drawing closer to God through that process of remembering.
Beautifully said. And to our listeners, we encourage you to continue exploring Deuteronomy with us. There's so much more to uncover in these ancient texts, and we can't wait to share it with you. We'll be back soon for the final part of our deep dive into Deuteronomy 5-8.
It allows us to rest in the knowledge that we are already enough simply because we are loved. It's a powerful thing, you know?
It is. It's like a weight lifted off your shoulders, knowing that you're accepted just as you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that frees us up to be more loving and compassionate towards others, you know, because we're not so caught up in our own insecurities and fears.
That makes sense. When you feel secure in yourself and God's love for you, you're more able to extend that love to others.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that love, it just overflows, you know, it can't be contained and it spills out into the world around us.
It's a beautiful image. So remembering our belovedness, what else can we remember in the midst of our busy, often chaotic lives? What other memories can help us stay grounded and connected to our faith?
Well, I think it's also important to remember our interconnectedness. In our culture, it's so easy to get caught up in the me, you know.
Yeah.
But when we remember that we're part of something larger than ourselves, that we're all connected, it changes everything.
Hmm. It's like remembering that we're not just isolated individuals, but part of a web of life, right?
Exactly. We're connected to one another, to all of creation, to God. And that connection, it's not just a nice idea, you know. It's a reality that has profound implications for how we live our lives.
So how does remembering our interconnectedness help us, practically speaking?
Well, for one thing, it can make us more compassionate, more empathetic. When we see ourselves as part of a larger whole, we're less likely to judge and criticize others, you know. We're more likely to see them as fellow travelers on this journey, each with their own struggles and triumphs.
It's like expanding our circle of compassion to include, well, everyone and everything.
Exactly. And that can be a really challenging thing to do, you know, especially in a world that's so divided. But I think it's essential if we want to live lives of peace and justice.
So remembering our belovedness, remembering our interconnectedness, what else? What else can we remember?
Well, I think it's also important to remember our own resilience. Life is tough, you know, it throws curveballs and it's easy to get discouraged, to feel like giving up. But when we remember the times we've overcome adversity in the past, it can give us the strength to keep going.
It's like looking back on our lives and seeing all those mountains we've climbed, those obstacles we've overcome, and realizing that we're stronger than we think.
Exactly. We've all been through tough times, you know. We've all faced challenges that we thought we couldn't handle, but somehow we did. We found a way to get through it. And that knowledge, that experience, it can be incredibly empowering.
So it's not about pretending that the difficult times didn't happen or that they weren't hard. It's about remembering that we made it through.
Right. And that we can make it through whatever challenges we're facing now because we have that inner strength, that resilience that's been forged in the fires of our experiences.
That's a powerful image. So remembering our belovedness, remembering our interconnectedness, remembering our resilience, these are all such important things to keep in mind as we navigate life's journey.
They are. And I think they all point back to that core message of Deuteronomy, you know, the message of remembering. Remembering who we are, whose we are, and what God has done for us, and letting that remembrance shape our lives, you know, guide our actions, inspire our hopes. It's a beautiful thing.
It is, and it's a message that speaks to us just as powerfully today as it did to the Israelites thousands of years ago.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your insights on Deuteronomy.
It's been a pleasure. Deuteronomy is always a good one to dive into.
It is. And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into Deuteronomy chapters 5-8. And we hope it's inspired you to cultivate a spirit of active remembering in your own lives, to remember your belovedness, your interconnectedness, and your resilience, and to let those memories shape your present and guide your future. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking those deeper truths that connect us to ourselves, to one another, and to the divine.